cops through last summer, but enough to pay the loan. Couldn't buy the seed plant this spring. I'll say a prayer for your soul tonight.
Blood on the scarecrow. Maybe that's the next Donald Trump tweet. Scary stuff. This is our president. Holy. But here's the thing. Finally, Democrats are coalescing around the idea that maybe there's something wrong with the orange menace in the White House. And for months, what you've had is you've had the Democratic leadership kind of tapping down those who are saying, "Look, we need to be going after this. There's something wrong with this guy." They've been saying, "No, we're not going to say the I word. Don't do that." But what you got right now is you got 21 House Democrats. Including the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, who's saying, you know what, maybe we need to be looking at some kind of congressional oversight to hold this president accountable, maybe check if the guy's competent. And if he's not, if he's incapacitated in some way, use the 25th Amendment and move him along. Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland, the chief sponsor of a bill that would do that, sent out an email to his colleagues saying, "Hey, get behind this," writing it was enduring importance to the security of our nation. And I agree. Anyway, here to talk about what's going on the week that was, even with all the blood and all of the who knows what, our good friend Isaiah Poole. He's the communications director there at People's Action. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
It's my pleasure.
What do you think of this? The idea that maybe we should be looking into whether the guy who's sending out all these tweets is actually all there.
Oh, he's not all there. I think that's very clear. And I think that's clear even to many people in the Republican leadership. The question is, do they have the courage to connect the dots in the way that Jamie Raskin is connecting them and saying that, look, if you have a person who can be provoked by a tweet, by the way, I watched Morning Joe this morning, and Mika Brzezinski pretty much said, you know, look, we kind of knew that there was going to be a reaction out of this, but it's tragic that, you know, you have a president in the White House who can be provoked by a tweet from a talk show.
Yep.
And if that's what it takes to set him off, you know, look what how a foreign leader could manipulate him.
Oh, and I mean, that's I've been saying that all day.
Manipulated him.
I've been saying that ever since. Look, you know, if Morning Joe gets under his skin, what's going to happen when an adversary?
We've got this man about to meet Vladimir Putin at the G20 summit.
Yep.
Now, how bad is that, given what we know and what we've seen?
And my question is does he give away any state secrets while he's there? I mean, honestly, this is something that has to be considered.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that this guy is going to be, you know, it's very clear that this guy is going to get played. And he's going to get played to the detriment of this country.
Yeah.
And if any member of Congress who is not concerned about this ought to be hounded out of Congress.
It's really you know, as I said for a while, you know, I knew it was going to be bad. Never imagined this off the rails. But here's the thing, and maybe I'd like to hear your thoughts. I'm almost not on the impeachment removal wagon simply because the guy who comes along after him is so much worse.
Yes, there is that.
I mean, you know,
but here, The reality is that we've got two bad options, and the only choice that we have, the only real choice that we have, whether there's impeachment or not, is to keep mobilized, keep woke, stay woke. We're entering a week where the Senate is going, senators are going back into their states, and they should be made to feel the wrath of all of us who are threatened by their health care bill.
Now, are you suggesting we crash their barbecues?
I am suggesting that we crash their barbecues. You know, on July 4th, if you are in an area where a senator is showing up at a, you know, at some sort of march or patriotic plot, patriotic parade.
Some kind of photo op.
Yes. Be there with signs. Be there with your testimony. Be there saying to that senator, kill this bill before it kills us.
You know, in looking at this.
I'm serious about that.
Yeah, I mean, but look at this bill. I mean, just 12% of people are supportive of it. Isn't this, shouldn't this be a moment where the party, where the Republicans go, it's not popular, it's a bad idea, we abandon our ideological wet dream and do something that might be, I don't know, in the interest of people?
Here's what people have to be on guard against. There's going to be some horse trading that will be happening within the next week. There will be, I mean, and you're already hearing the word, some of the tinkering. And it's going to look a little like this. They're going to take some of the tax cuts off the table. And they will put some money into opioid abuse. And they will put, to buy off a couple of senators. And they will put some money into something else to buy off a couple of senators. But that will not be a systemic solution. There will still be massive cuts to Medicaid. There will still be millions of people for whom insurance is unaffordable and inaccessible. There will still be states that will be allowed to strike all sorts of things off the list of essential benefits that an insurance policy must cover. And all of those things have to be rebelled against. You cannot take the eye off the ball by allowing the Senate Republican leadership to, you know, put a Band-Aid here and a piece of duct tape there to buy off a few votes. The whole bill, the whole edifice has to be taken down.
Right. Now, is this a moment for Democrats to push for finally a public option at the minimum or single payer even?
This is a moment to certainly, you know, I think the moderate option is a public option. I would say that Medicare for all or single payer and a system that moves toward that is the way to go. And frankly, the only negotiating point that the Democrats should have on that, in my view, is how long it takes.
Right. Because you, now you're setting this up for a 2018 campaign issue. Because, look, we've seen, and this is the thing that gets me, we've known what the Republican plan was going to be. It's exactly what they've rolled out. Were you surprised by any portion of it?
I was not surprised by any portion of it.
Of course, because you've been paying attention.
Right.
So, you know, this is, we now know, they've shown their hands, the cards are on the table. You go back to all of those Trump voters and all those Republicans who are going to be harmed by this, and you say, look, this is what they think of you. This is their priorities. We want to make sure that everyone gets care, everyone cradle to grave. So you get care so you can change jobs, you can be unemployed, you can do other things, start your own business. It makes sense to me, and it always has made sense to me.
Well, exactly. And the tragedy is that, you know, look at the John Ossoff race in Georgia, where, you know, we're reduced to crowing about how much better he did than some other mythical Democrat.
Right.
The reality is, and we ran a very excellent piece on this on ourfuture.org a few days ago. You should really go to our website and read it, because if you look at the numbers, if you look at the demographics of that district, that district is full of people who would be adversely affected by the GOP Trump Care bill. And yet Ossoff ran on a platform that was not about single, rejected the idea of single payer, rejected the idea of Medicare for all, and did not say that, look, the current for-profit healthcare system is not at a place where we can just tweak it or Band-Aid it. We really need to move to the, with the rest of the civilized, developed world to something that is a not profit-driven, not free market-driven, but is driven on the idea that healthcare is a human right.
I would argue community-driven.
Yes, and community-driven.
You know, this idea that, you know, we like we used to have, we had community hospitals. We made sure that they were funded, that we made sure that doctors were running them, that, you know, the care people got was what they needed. It wasn't about, hey, how do we save money here? How do we cut stuff here? It's about making sure that people got care when they needed it. And I think that's what most people want, Isaiah.
That is what people want. And you just mentioned community hospitals. One of the things that's going to be really devastated by the Senate bill is the rural hospitals. I mean, they're already financially struggling, and this will just make their situation worse. There will be huge swaths of rural America. Already there are huge swaths of rural America that does not have adequate medical coverage.
Not even coverage, it's facility. Infrastructure. I mean, you know,
exactly.
It was because of the Affordable Care Act that the Perry County, where I live, just a little bit north of us, they don't have a hospital in the entire county. They have to go to other counties to get hospital care. It was just because of the Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid expansion that you're starting to see some infrastructure being built of clinics and places for people who now have health insurance to be able to go. What happens when this goes away and those people lose that insurance? All that infrastructure goes with it.
Well, exactly. And I would love for somebody to confront your Republican senator and ask him, how does he feel that there would be entire counties in Pennsylvania that don't even have a hospital?
No, I mean, this is what they're doing. But, you know, here's the thing. Perry County went overwhelmingly. In fact, I think it was one of the top three or four counties in the state that went for Trump.
Yeah, but I think there's been a lot of miseducation. Voters don't understand. Trump himself admitted that he didn't understand this after he got, you know, he ran on this platform that he knows everything and he alone can fix everything. And then he comes into office and it's like, oh, I didn't know healthcare could be so complicated.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew it could be complicated? Well, let me ask you, Isaiah, last line of questioning, because, you know, I'm saying that, you know, things are so badly gerrymandered. The moneyed interests have such a stranglehold on our government. And now you look at this commission that Trump's put forth with Chris Kobach and Mike Pence, and now this Heritage Foundation flack, this Hans Van Spakovsky or whatever his name is, a former Bush guy. I see them setting up the next theft of 2018 and 2020.
Well, which is why I was heartened to read this morning that when an edict went out from this commission that every state send in their voter records so that all of those voter, and one of the consequences of that was that all of those voter records would be made public. And some states are already pushing back and say, wait a minute, what kind of shenanigans do you intend to play with our voter records?
Yeah, California, Virginia, and Kentucky, and I'm calling on Pedro Cortez, Secretary of State here in Pennsylvania, to add the state of Pennsylvania to that. And I'm also calling on Josh Shapiro, the attorney general, to get with other attorney generals and file a lawsuit to stop this.
I would agree. I think we should definitely fight back against this.
Yeah, it's nothing good here, Isaiah. Isaiah, as always, I appreciate the time. I wish you and yours a fantastic holiday. Great talking to you. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right. You take care.
As always, our good friend Isaiah Poole, communications director there at People's Action. You want to check out their work? We'll get a link at the RickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back.